Good afternoon, everyone. Happy Sabbath. I hope that everyone has had a rewarding and uplifting Days of Unleavened Bread up to this point without leavening. Today is a day that the word sin will be talked about a lot. Today I would like to discuss four words with you, four powerful words, words that we must guard against. Four words that threaten to take down our society. Four words that are well known to the human race. You may refer to them as the Big Four. These four words can also have the potential to take down the church, only if we allow it. If we continue to obtain God's help, it will not happen. The Big Four are evil, rebellion, faults, and transgressions. Are we putting the Big Four out of our lives, or are we risk being swallowed up by them? The Big Four took down Lucifer and a third of the angels. The Big Four threatened to take down Israel in the book of Judges. The Big Four finally took down Israel and ultimately Judah as well. The Big Four have created end time heresies that have been a persistent problem for an attack against the brethren of God's church. My purpose today is to cover the meaning of the dangerous four. Again, the four are transgressions, evil, rebellion, and faults. Some lump transgressions and negative behavior as sin. Sin is sin, whether big or small. All sins can't kill, as Romans 6:23 tells us. Let's begin with the word transgression and see the impact it has created and is creating. Transgression means to step across or to go beyond a set boundary or limit. This concept can be compared to an athletic playing field with lines delineating the boundaries within the game which is played. When a player crosses over those boundary lines, he has committed a transgression and has gone out of bounds. We are in the middle of March Madness. If a basketball player dribbles the ball on the line or goes out of bounds, he violates the rules. Or if a football player runs out of bounds and comes back in bounds and catches the ball, that's a violation of the rule. Dictionary.com defines transgression this way: to violate a law, command, or moral code. Strong's Concordance of the Bible translates the word number 6586 from the Hebrew as to offend, rebel, or revolt. Let's begin in Psalms 32 and we read verse 1 and 5. Psalms 32, verse 1 and 5. Verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Verse 5. I acknowledge my sins to you. My iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you will forgive the iniquity of my sin. Adam Clark commentary comments on the word transgression and sin. The Hebrew word P-E-S-H means it must be forgiven, carried away by a vivid sacrifice for bearing sin or bearing away sin. Sin, the Hebrew word C-H-A-T-A-A-H, must be covered hidden from sight. It is a detestable and abominable, and must be put out of sight. I would like to relay a personal example of being tempted to cross the line or to transgress God's law. As a baptized young adult working around a group of men who, how would you say, who look upon women as sex objects. And they, after a while, they understood that my view and their view were not the same. And they attempted to draw me into their cesspool by displaying Playboy magazines or other similar publications. And after reading Mr. Armstrong's booklet, The Missing Dimension in Sex, I understood that Matthew 5:28, where it says, if you look upon a woman to lust after her, you have already committed adultery. And also in 1 Corinthians 6:18, we are told as the people of God, or everyone should, to flee fornication. My view of what they were trying to do, I did not want those images or whatever bouncing around in my mind. I had enough problems without adding to it. In verse 5 of Psalms 32, reading from the New Living Translation, King David prayed, finally, I confess all my sins to you and stop trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgive me. All my guilt is gone. It would be good if all of us would follow the example of David. Our progress and change can start today. As John wrote to the fellow believers in 1 John 1 and verse 9, I'll reference it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The NIV Study Bible states that on verse 5, in both the Old and New Testament, God calls us to be honest, even though it's painful, about our sins and guilt. The days of unleavened bread remind us, as the Israelites were told, to get out in haste away from the sinful environment of Egypt, because Egypt, as we all know, pictures a type of sin. You and I are told to be very much on guard and to avoid anything in the terms of sinful surroundings, sinful situations that could bring havoc into our lives. This is why we must constantly be alert to what is going on in the world, which influences us just as much as the world did influence the ancient Israelites. Like leaven, sin easily grows and spreads and can permeate our lives. Reading from the UCG Bible Study Guide, number 4, Spiritual Lessons from Leavening. Putting leavening out from our homes is symbolic of putting both the visible and the hidden sins out of our lives. Christians come to realize that we cannot do this on our own, but it is Jesus Christ's help as we submit to him living in us that produces the real spiritual progress. Moving on to the second point of the big four, evil. Many of the educators of our society reject the idea, but the Bible is insistent, that evil exists. The mayor of Newtown, Connecticut, stated that evil has visited us today, referring to the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. He really and truly did witness evil. The biblical writers present evil in the form of decline of the prince of demons called Satan, whose primary purpose is to destroy mankind. Dictionary.com defines evil as morally wrong, bad, immoral, wicked, evil deeds, an evil life, harmful. Another word for evil is depravity. And Carter Dictionary defines depravity as behavior that is immoral or evil. Here are some examples of what some may look upon as evil. The New York City made a law to give female students in its schools the morning after pill. Quoting from the New York Times, in 13 New York City schools, the morning after pill is available to students without parental permission, although parents are given the opportunity to opt out at the beginning of the school year. Stats from the New York City Department of Health regarding teenage pregnancy in the city state that 7,000 girls under the age of 17 got pregnant last year citywide. 90% of those pregnancies were unplanned. 64% were aborted. In a quote from the New York Times, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo wants to update abortion laws in New York, in the state of New York, by removing restriction on late-term abortion. Late-term is defined as 24 weeks, which have previously been available only if a woman's life is at risk. His proposal also includes allowing licensed practitioners to perform abortion and changing the regulation of abortion to the state public health law rather than the penal codes. Rereading Deuteronomy 12, verse 31, let's turn to Deuteronomy 12, reread verse 31, where God told the Israelites how not to worship him. Deuteronomy 12 and verse 31. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods. For they have even burned their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. And let's turn to Genesis chapter 6 and we read verse 5. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Strong's word 67451 translate evil as adversity, affliction, and a bad calamity. We read in Romans 1:28, speaking of God's wrath against mankind, Romans chapter 1 and verse 28 and 29. Romans 1 verse 28 and 29. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. The NIV translate debased as depraved mind. In verse 29, the first part, being filled with all unrighteousness and sexual immorality. Reading from an article written by Mr. Bill Bradford in the Good News entitled, Why Does Evil Exist? The Bible is consistently in explaining evil as rebellion against God and his way of selfless and outflowing love for others. His way of giving. Evil is self-absorbed and uncaring of others. The way of getting and taking. God's way of life is expressed in His law of love. And evil is the violation of that law. Evil is synonymous with sin. We read in 1 John 3 and verse 4. Whosoever commits sin transgress also the law, for sin is transgression of law, which is contrary to God. Any calamity He allows or brings is actually done out of love. But some might argue, isn't all evil God's fault? The reason goes like this. Since God created everything and evil exists, then God must be the author of evil. It tells us that a cunning serpent introduced evil into God's perfect creation. Let's turn over to Genesis 3 and reread verse 1. Genesis 3 and verse 1. Verse 1 of Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yes, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Mr. Bradford states on his comment on Genesis 3:1, it seems to say that God created the serpent too. So that doesn't really answer the question. Maybe there's some force equal to or greater than God that is beyond his control. Or maybe God isn't good after all. There is a better answer, a biblical one. We have seen that God made everything good without the presence of evil. Yet in doing so, he created man with moral freedom, the ability to choose good versus evil. God did not create evil. He created us to be free will, to have the ability to make choices. That is the framework for the existence of evil. Moving on to the third point, rebellion. From Encarta Dictionary, it defines rebellion as opposition to or defiance of authority, or disobeying accepted moral codes. The original rebellion was Lucifer's choice when he decided or deceived himself into thinking that he could invade the third heaven and wage war against God. Let's turn over to Exodus 34 and read verse 7. Exodus 34 and verse 7. Verse 7 of Exodus 34. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fatherless upon the children and children's children to the third and fourth generation. In verse 6, it shows how God is abounding in love, faithfulness, and he is slow to anger. Is ancient Israel was forgiven then, at that time, and the generation that went through into the promised land of Canaan obeyed and loved God, but sadly only for a short time. Rebellion is described in 1 Samuel 15, verse 23, as like the sin of witchcraft. The account of Saul, who was instructed by God through Samuel to destroy everything of the Amalekites. He decided to keep the best of the sheep, lamb, and cattle. He rebelled against God's instruction. Over a period of time, we read in Scripture that the people of their generation of children began to forget God and not love God anymore by worshiping false gods and by not keeping God's commandments. What happened? The book of Judges tells us what happened to them and the curse of succeeding generations brought upon them, even though God pleaded with them to turn to Him and to love God and each other by keeping His commandments. Let's turn to Judges chapter 2. We read verse 10 through 17. Judges 2. Verse 10 through 17. Verse 10, referring to the Israelites. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which He had done for Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baal. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baal. And verse 14, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, so He delivered them into the hand of the plunderers who despoiled them, and He sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them, and for calamity, as the Lord had said, as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Verse 16. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Verse 17. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but they played the harlot with other gods and bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked in obeying the commands of the Lord. They did not do so. Here the sobering words, verses we've just read in Judges, we see how God visits the generations that bow down to idols and who continue to hate God. It is a very important lesson for us to learn. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. Point number four of the big four, false. The Bible makes several references to the word fault or false. Reading from BibleTools.com, the clearer our view of the law, the more manifest are our sins. Still, for its full effect, we need divine grace to show us our faults, acquit us, restrain us from the practice, and free us from the power of sin. Only can our conduct be blameless and our words and thoughts acceptable to God. Then, we must strive always to conduct ourselves in a godly manner, being careful in our word uses, the thoughts that enter our minds. Let's turn over to Psalm chapter 19 and reread verse 12 and 13. Psalms 19. Verse 12 and 13. Verse 12. Who can understand his arrows? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgressions. The Companion Bible comments on verse 12. The word cleanse refers to clear or equip. The word arrows, clear, move us from wandering. Adam Clark commentary on verse 13 states that we are being brought, delivered from presumptuous sins, as Mr. Keeler explained. Sins committed not through weakness or surprise, but those which are the offspring of thought, purpose, and deliberation. Sins against judgment, light, and conscience. The words might be translated, preserve your servant also from proud, from oppressive governors, from evil spirits. Several Greek words are translated fault. In English, Pontius Pilate found Christ without fault. The Greek A-I-T-I-O-N. And in Luke 23:4, I'll reference it. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man, meaning without cause, crime, or legal ground for punishment. Paul found fault. The Greek H-E-T-T-E-M-A, meaning decrease, diminish, or loss. With the Corinthian brethren who were taking each other to court. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 7. I'll reference that. You can read it later. Now therefore, verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 6. Now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you because you go to the law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourself and be defrauded? Another area where the Apostle Paul addresses the Old and New Covenant, where he wrote that the problem with the Old Covenant was finding fault with the then Israel and Judah. In Hebrews 8 and verse 8. We turn over there, Hebrews 8 and verse 8. Verse 8 of Hebrews 8. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Here, the fault is men for me, the Greek word, meaning blame. The Israelites' heart were to blame, not God's laws. In Ephesians 1:4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We are told that those chosen by God ought to be without blame. The Greek word amoros, meaning rebuke, without blemish or blot. In Matthew 18 and verse 15, Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. This instructs us that if our brother trespass against us, the Greek, hamartano, meaning to sin or fall short, we are to tell him his faults alone. We have seen, in conclusion, four sobering words: transgression, evil, rebellion, and faults. Words that have far-reaching effect on a person or group or nation. With enough of God's Spirit, we need not fear what these words can do to us. We can resolve to strive to put the big four out of our spiritual lives and keep them out. Let's all strive to get closer to God and don't let the big four swallow us up.